So we are still in Ephesus. We've been going through Acts, and we're sort of getting stuck at Acts 19. We took a bit of a break from the book of Acts, and we've gone over to the book of Ephesus. And the reason is because this is the longest that Paul has spent in one of the churches of modern day Europe. And Jesus really wanted to establish this church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a major trade center. It was a port city at the time. Ephesus doesn't exist anymore. Because of a river that was, there's a river that goes through Ephesus, and they call it the Caister River, and silt was coming down from the river. And because of that, over the years, it wasn't a port city anymore. So Ephesus lost that ability to trade as a port. So Ephesus now, if you go there, is just ruins. But Ephesus at the time had big public buildings. There was a theater with 25,000 seats. Paul actually wanted to preach in that theater, but the disciples stopped him because they were fearing for his life, as usual. So I think there's a lot we can say, but let's just look at our core scriptures is Ephesians 2 verse 10 to 18. So I'm going to read that first. Maybe a little bit about Ephesus. It's one of the seven cities that John addressed, and the Holy Spirit through John addressed. You know that the book of Revelations is not about the end times. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. So even though we find the end times there in the book, and a lot of it combined with Daniel and other books, if you read Revelations 1, the chapter 1, you'll see it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you look at this area, I think I've got, maybe this is for air conditioners, but maybe it'll work here. Yep, there we go. So there's Ephesus. At the time, many years back, I think this was during the Roman era, this map. So there's Ephesus, and then you have Smyrna, and you have Pergamos, and coming down, I can't read that well there, but I think that's Thyatira, Philadelphia, and what you can't see is Laodicea. So that's the seven churches that is mentioned in Revelations 2 and 3. And the one that is speaking is Jesus. Jesus is speaking to these seven churches. And although it is 2,000 years ago, it still applies today. It's messages to the church. And we can read any one of those messages to those seven churches, and we can identify with them. A word that we received for this church about 2 years ago, I remember we went to a family camp. Maybe a bit longer, about 3-4 years ago, went to a family camp with Alistair and Esther at the time, and the Lord really laid on our hearts Revelations 2 verse 1 to 10. You're doing all these works, I'm glad about these works you're doing, but you've lost your first love. So it's about intimacy. So we can focus a lot on what we do. We've got to realize that God is the God that does. He's the doing God. We are not the doing ones. He did everything so that we can rest in what he's done. We can receive, I think last week or the week before, and he spoke last week, the week before, I said, faith puts out his hands like this and receive, that is salvation. We receive what God has done through Jesus Christ. That's how simple as faith is. We just receive. It's not something we do. You'll see it in this Ephesians 2 as well, where he keeps on emphasizing it's not works that you've done. I've done everything. You can't do anything extra. I've done everything. So Ephesians 1 to 3 is all about identifying with Jesus Christ. We struggle with this, because it's something that God did before the foundation of the world. So we struggle to put ourselves into the picture. but we have no control over it. When we receive by faith what Jesus has done, he says we were dead in our trespasses in sin. We were in the sphere or the circle of trespasses in sin. Man in the middle. We were there in the middle. And now he came and he put us in another sphere of good works. But it's not the good works that we think, give to the poor, help your neighbor. This is works that God has prepared before the foundation of the world. And what's in the middle there? He's taken man and he's changed it into a new creation. He calls it his workmanship. It's a new creation. There's a Greek word that he creates, this new creation, this workmanship. It's God's artwork. We are God's artwork. And he puts it in this sphere, and the result is good works to the glory of God. Works he has prepared. So there's an alignment that's taking place. But let me stop speaking. Let us read those scriptures. We covered this last time, Ephesians 2. You can read the whole Ephesians 1 and 2. It is so powerful. For we are his workmanship. So I'm going to read all the scriptures. It's about 9 verses, and then we'll come back again to them. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision. So that's us, that's like a curse word. We are the uncircumcision. That's what the Jews called us at the time. They called the Gentiles the uncircumcision. They were actually downgrading and like cursing them. You are the uncircumcision. Called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hand. So in a way, Paul is like joking with this and saying, yeah, the Jews are saying, you are the uncircumcision. Look, we are circumcised. But it's just a fleshly thing, Paul is saying. It's not a spiritual thing. It's an idolatrous thing. So he's actually talking to the Jews and saying, you are looking down at the uncircumcision because you are circumcised. But it's just a fleshly thing where you are. You're not circumcised in the heart. It's an idolatrous thing. So at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called it uncircumcision by what is called a circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, talking to us, the Gentiles, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, citizenship of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And here we come to the topic of the sermon today. For he himself is our peace. Jesus Christ himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. We're going to come back to this. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Okay. So the first point we are making this morning is that there is a Prince of Peace. If you read Ephesians 1 and 2, you'll see he talks about the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan. So this sphere that I mentioned of trespasses and sin is being controlled by higher authorities. So if you wake up in the morning, your natural instincts, your passions, the Bible also calls it the lusts that we have. It can be a good lust or a bad lust. When it's controlled from this authority, the prince of the air, which is Satan, it's bad lusts, it's bad passions. If it's controlled by the other sphere, where Jesus is the prince of your life, the prince of peace, then we have that, what we mentioned earlier, this works that was prepared by God before the foundation of the world, he aligns that now with this new creation, this new workmanship. So I'm going to read us scripture, the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9 verse 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So this word peace, what is the Hebrew word chera? Shalom. Shalom is a holistic unity between your spirit, your soul, and your body. And he also spoke a little bit about it last week. The peace that he mentioned in Ephesians 2 is the Greek word. So we have, remember, Old Testament mostly Hebrew, New Testament mostly Greek, some Aramaic as well, and another language as well. But the Greek word for peace is Irene. Think about Pretoria, suburb, Irene. The verb is Irio, which means to join. The noun is, it has been joined together. Something has been joined together. So we're going to look at this concept in peace. What has been joined? Something that was apart has been joined together. What is it? We're going to look at that. We're going to look to... And suddenly, Luke 2 verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when I was preparing this sermon, this verse came to me the whole week. And I was wondering, Lord, what is it about this verse? What is so wonderful about the angels? First, one angel came to the shepherds and he spoke to them. And then there was a whole choir of angels that was singing and declaring this, saying, glory to God in the highest. We sang it this morning. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So a little bit of context. Remember, when God created Adam and Eve, there was perfect unity, perfect peace. Not just between God and man, but all creation. All animals, everything that was created in those 6 days, there was unity between them. There was peace. It was joined together. So when he's saying this, he's speaking to a broken world, giving this message first to the shepherds, the most lowly people on earth at the time. Giving this, think about David. When he was called, he was out there with the sheep. And his father had to say, yeah, David is out there. Our last son, he's there with the sheep. As if that is nothing. So the angels spoke to them and declared and gave this message. And God is saying through this that he wants to restore what was broken. God, I said before, God is not a quitter. He created everything perfect. Man, woman, animals, the sun, moon, stars, everything is perfect. But when there was rebellion and disobedience, it broke. God is not a quitter. He's going to restore it to its original state. And that's where the word peace comes in. Peace, Irio, means to join. And that Irene is something that's been joined together, that is going to make something new. So something that was joined is going to join again. I want to look at that a little bit further just now. I don't want to say too much about that now. Let's go to the next verse. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. So we see the same thing there. The Lord of peace giving us this unity. Unity in ourselves, spirit, soul, and body, being in unity. And then unity amongst one another as a body. Okay. Next point, those who are far off and to him who is near. We saw that in the scriptures there. Let's go to Isaiah 57:19. You saw there at the beginning, 2:17, Ephesians 2:17, and he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who were near. Just want to see it in Isaiah 57:19. Peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So you've got to catch the Father's heart. He wants there to be unity between him and man. And he only had the prophets and the angels to speak his word through in the old covenant. Now he's got Jesus Christ. If you read Hebrews 1, the chapter 1, that whole chapter is focused on the voice of Jesus. God is saying, God the Father is saying, listen to my son. He's the one speaking now. It's not angels speaking now, or Moses, or the prophets. This is now Jesus that is speaking. So God's inner desire is for his heart to be communicated. And that was the struggle through the ages. But now we have Jesus by the Holy Spirit speaking into our hearts. And we have this ministry. We'll see that just now. This ministry of reconciliation, where we can be an ambassador for God. And the Holy Spirit speaks through us. Jesus is speaking through us. So catch the Father's heart in all this. The next point I want to make is by the blood of Christ. So if we look at Ephesians 2 verse 13, let's just go back a little bit. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So what is important to know about Jesus is that before he came to earth, he had all the glory with the Father. He was the voice of the Father. Genesis 1 verse 1, when God spoke, the Holy Spirit breathed over the chaos in the beginning. When God spoke, it was his words, was Jesus. It was being communicated. Jesus chose to empty himself. Because he knew the heart of his Father, he chose to empty himself, to come to earth as a man. It was the only way he could remove sin from us. For him who knew no sin to become sin, so that his righteousness can become our righteousness. So it was by the blood of Christ. So first we see him in heaven. He's giving up all his glory. He comes to earth. It's the incarnation. Becomes a man. The word becomes flesh. John chapter 1. Then he dies. Pays for our sin. He rises from the dead. And he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And that is the ultimate place where he wants us to be. Is to be identified with him. Seated next to the Father. Ephesians 1, you'll see all the power of God was used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Ephesians 2, you will see that he is using that power now by the Holy Spirit, that he raises us from the sphere of trespasses and sin, where we were dead in sin. He raises us with Christ so that we can be seated with him. What does seated mean? There is no action in being seated. As you are seated here, nothing is happening. You listening to me is very passive. There's not an active thing happening. That is the upside down kingdom of God. It starts with doing nothing. And that is what we struggle with. We want to do something. God says, I've done everything. You start by resting in me. You start by being seated in me. And then I will bring those works I've prepared long ago. I will come align it with your life. Why? For us? No. Our works bring glory to us. Grace, the free gift, brings glory to God. That's why he aligns those works with us, for his glory. Next point I want to make is that we have now access through the Holy Spirit to the Father. I think before I quickly move from the blood of Christ, let me just see Colossians 1:20. I think I'm going a little bit quickly. Let's read Colossians 1:19-20. So this is still on the point of by the blood of Christ. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Do you see the heart of the Father? He wants to unite everything back to himself. That what was broken, that what is now far off, all the nations. When God gave Abram, when God came to Abram, first he said, Abram, go from Ur of Chaldees to a land I will show you. Then God, the Bible talks about the angel of the Lord. I believe it's Jesus Christ. When he came and he met Abram in the tents of Haran, he said to him, I will give you a seed. Abram was 80 years old. His wife was 60 at the time. Sarah still laughed when she heard this. That seed was Jesus Christ. And because of that seed, we that are sitting here by faith in Jesus Christ are also sons of Abram. But we ask, why Israel? Why did God choose Israel? Because of a man like Abram that said yes to God. Because of a man, when Isaac was born, God said, go and sacrifice your son. Hebrews 11 says, he believed that even when he killed his son and burned him to ashes, that God will raise him up from the dead. That's the faith he had in God. So there already, the angel of the Lord said to Abram, in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Talking about the seed. So those that were far off, you see the context for the scripture we're reading. Those that are near, Israel, those who are far off, all the nations, all the rest. But it was already in Abram's time, God prophesied it, or God said it. So let's move on to the next point. Access through the Holy Spirit. Access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:18. So, for through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So God created this new man. He took through his cross those who were far, those who were near, circumcision, uncircumcision, two different ethnicities, if you can call it that. And he came and he created a new man. That new man is the body that is sitting here, that is gathering all over Bloemfontein this morning, all over the world. That new body is the household of God. There was ultimately, I'm moving too quickly to my last point now, but this is ultimately the plan of God. Remember in the wilderness there was a tent where his presence was in. In Jerusalem there was this temple where he was in the Holy of Holies, the holiest of all. But ultimately, his plan was to be in us. He wants to dwell in us. And Ephesians 1 and 2 and even 3, we're not there yet. They are trying to capture this. Paul is trying to capture this. He says, it's not easy to understand. You need to ask God to give you a spirit of revelation, to open your eyes. So it's as difficult and as simple as just asking God, Lord, open my eyes that I may see what you have done. And that have done is an active, it's ongoing. He's still doing it. He's still changing us. Don't think salvation is only, Lord Jesus, you are my King. I declare you as my Lord. Salvation is ongoing. That's justification, where God came and removed sin from us and we identified with Jesus Christ. Then after justification comes the redemption part, where he comes and changes us daily. he develops that fruit of the Spirit. So if you think about that Sophia I talked about, where the new creation, his workmanship is inside, what's developing on the outside is Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. And it's that fruit that is changing our worlds. Do you want your world to change? Your family, your friends, your work colleagues? The power is the power of the gospel, and it's that fruit, that character that is in you. Sometimes we focus a lot on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that is very important. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, 13 in the middle with love. That love is the character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it balances the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so where are we now? A home for God. Ephesians 2:22. Being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So we said that grace ultimately gives glory to God, because grace is a free gift. We can't do anything about it. The thing that we must watch out for is our works, and we may term it good works. I'm praying every day for an hour. I label it as a good work. Be careful of this. Let the Holy Spirit initiate works through us, because those works are to the glory of God. Our works is for our flesh. It's for our glory. You will find I can test myself normally if I do something I think is good. I will quickly go and tell Gerda and Danya and Jos and everybody what I've done. Not to the glory of God, it's to my glory. So that's an easy way to test it. So coming to the end now. So we looked at, we have the Prince of Air, Prince of the Power of the Air. He's up to mountain height, the highest mountains, till you get to the stratosphere. That's the kingdom that was given to Satan. He rules there. That third of the demons that was thrown out, the third of the angels that was thrown out of heaven, Isaiah 58, I think, Ezekiel as well, they rule there. And they control the sphere of sin and trespasses, where normal men every day live, where we wake up in every day. We don't want to be there. We want to be where the Prince of Peace is controlling us, where we report to him every day as our king. We identify with his death, with his resurrection, being seated with him in heavenly places. And then he moves with his Holy Spirit, and he combines us with what he is doing, not what Marius is doing. It's not my program, it is God's program. He combines a Marius or Gerda or Dalton. He combines them with whatever he's doing at the moment in the city or in this area. Always remember, it's God's program. It's not our program. So the second thing we said, those who are far off, those who were near, this is what he does with peace. Peace is that was broken apart. He comes and he joins together. And he makes it the Irene. He makes it something that is joined together, a new creation, a new household, where he comes and dwells within. We said this is by the blood of Christ. There's no other way. This peace that the angels declared is no other way. This peace would have been able to join those who were far off with those who were near. Only by the cross of Jesus could this have happened. And by that we said that now we have access. Please go and read the book of Hebrews. It talks the whole time about access. I think at least 5 times it talks about access to the Holy of Holies. And it is by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews goes further. It says not just by the Holy Spirit, it's by the blood of Christ. We touched on that. It is by faith. It's by hope. We have a hope, people. We have a hope that Jesus is coming. He's coming again. That is our hope. Doesn't matter what happens to this world, how crazy it seems. Our hope is that Jesus Christ is coming back for his body. And is he coming for a broken body? He's coming for perfect, pure bride. I spoke to a guy the other day, and he said he's going to do his own church. He wasn't from this church, he was from a different denomination. And he left that denomination, and he said he's going to start a new church. because the body is in a bad place. And I said, okay, but what happens if Jesus comes today? Is he coming for a broken body? He's coming for a perfect bride. So our perception of the body, not always Jesus' perception. Jesus looks at us and he sees a pure bride. Why does he see a pure bride? Because of the cross. He looks through the cross. The Holy Spirit, when he takes us to the Father, you can see the Trinity in this. As the Holy Spirit takes us before the Father and presents us to the Father, Jesus is saying, I paid for Marius. I paid for Ian. They're perfect. I paid the full price for them. That's why he's coming for a perfect bride and a pure bride. And the last thing was that God is coming to make his home in us. Not in a building like this. It's nice for us together, but this is not where God's presence is. His presence is in his people. You go out here, the presence doesn't stay behind you. Presence of the Lord goes wherever you go. Places I can't reach, you are going there. The presence of the Lord is going there. So that's what Gerda said. We call it a GPS. We live the gospel. We preach. We live the gospel. We love the people. And we obey the Spirit. Yeah, that is what we do in our worlds. Call it our GPS. Do it everywhere, wherever we are. Thank you. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are speaking. Jesus, you are the living word. And even though we just get an inkling here and there of who you have given us security. And your security is your Holy Spirit. He teaches us everything. He even reminds us of everything you have said, Lord Jesus. He comes and he explores the depths of God the Father. He explores our depths. He connected with one another. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, as we leave this morning, you stay with every one of us. You will never leave us. Not in eternity will you leave us. And we thank you that you gave us your Spirit, Father. We give you all glory this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.